Those Damn Ross Kids is a podcast for adults, and the opinions we express do not reflect the opinions of our employers or even ourselves. If you would like to support the show, go to duckfeed.tv/tipjar and check out our Patreon campaign.
There's some good headlines here today.
Yeah, it's been a good time for pre-pro.
Yeah, you know, the world's falling apart. I had no idea.
It's good for us, right?
Those Damn Ross Kids, a conversation between brothers, featuring Chris and Cole Ross.
Nothing matters anymore.
For like a minute. Oh, I mean, that's been a common refrain.
No, I think it's new. Nothing matters, and if it does, it's all equal.
Yep. Hey, but what about... And then it just, well, whatever. Like, then everything dissolves from there.
Yeah, yeah. I have no idea. So I was sitting with our grandmother.
Okay.
On Friday night. I had stopped over there to check in and make sure they still knew I don't have a life. And so we're sitting there and we're talking, and I was like, you know, you have to change the channel every once in a while. Like, literally on the television, change the channel.
Yeah, I didn't know LCDs could burn in, but
they do.
Guess what?
Yeah.
Fox News right down at the bottom.
Look at that 4K burn in right there in the bottom right.
Yeah.
And so that started the debate, and I said, just, you know, when it goes to commercial, change the channel to the other one. When that one goes to commercial, change the channel to the other one. Mm-hmm. And so she does a little bit, and she's like, I don't agree with that. I was like, well, you know, which one's the truth? She's like, you know, the one that I like is the truth. And I said, well, yeah,
oh,
but, you know, I understand that gives you a headache to flip back and forth, because it gives everyone a fucking headache.
Right.
To consider that there's an opinion outside of your own,
right?
Let alone fucking news, which what's that? I have no idea.
It doesn't exist.
Yeah. And so she's like, well, what do you want? What is it that you expect from this situation? And I said, well, honestly, I said, you know, the problem with the America right now is that our legislative body is not doing anything. And part of the reason for that is because of this large divide. Everyone's ran to their corners. And traditionally in the past, you've had a president who works to bring everyone away from their safe spot onto that common middle ground channel, right? You know, the one that maybe we don't necessarily agree with, but we can live with.
Yeah.
You know, so really the job of our commander in chief is to bring people together in the sense of compromise, not bring people together like fucking kumbaya, which I think is what people believe.
Right. To at least get people to retreat from their corners to some kind of basis of fact or priority, right?
To a distance, to a proximity from one another that if one screamed at the top of their lungs, the other could hear them.
Right,
that's as close as you got to get.
Yeah. And this is like, you know, I don't think that you're advocating for like centrism or like, oh, the truth somewhere in the middle, blah, blah, blah. But like, you know, just like literally we have to agree that there is something that exists outside of us.
I'm saying the commander in chief needs to bring people within earshot of one another.
Right.
And that's all that I'm asking for. And in doing so, to explain things. And I understand that you have to understand in order to explain, but let's just live in our own fantasy world where someone actually understands something.
Right.
And I said, so that's kind of what I'm asking for. And the minute that I finished my sentence, she said, well, what about Obama? And I said, whoa. I said, In that, did I degrade anyone? I said, let alone did I mention anyone's name?
Uh-huh.
I said, I said, what about Herbert Hoover? You know, how far back do you want to go? I didn't mention anyone. None of these people are president. You know, none of them are. There's only one.
There's only one. It's the one that we have.
It's the one we have. You know, it's like, you know, there's only one. I only have one dick. It's the one I got. You know,
I like the idea of you saying that to grandma.
I just wish it could be different. And I said, well, I wish I could take a shit in space without putting a suction cup on my asshole, but it doesn't fucking work that way.
Yeah. I don't like knowing that I'm shitting into a hungry funnel monster that's eating my ass. Come on.
Nom, 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 nom.
Yeah. So this is an assignment. This is an assignment for everybody.
Talk to an old person.
Well, talk. I mean, so this isn't about our grandma. This is about all grandparents writ large, or all people who do what she does, right? But like, just put a red flag whenever somebody says, "Well, what about?" Right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And John Oliver did this piece about it. Well, what about what it was like?
Well, look over there.
Yeah. It's, you know.
Hey, Paul, look.
You know, and like the real what about of Obama, putting aside the fact that the instinct to say that comes from her media diet, you know, like she's been fed that, you know, again, over in the corner. Go talk to somebody who is as far on the left as, you know, a person like her is on the right. They're equally angry at Obama for having gone out to the center like that, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you know, it is not like it is her versus everybody else. You know,
I don't begrudge these people on either side. I don't, because you are what you eat, and uh-huh. You know, and like that machine on the fucking space shuttle, nom, 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 everyone is a piece of shit.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, and then the blame falls on the media, and then immediately we have no more basis of truth. You know, we have no more kind of common set of facts, right?
Yeah.
There's no there's no arbiter.
A equals Z, man.
The center cannot hold.
Math does not matter anymore. What's the average? Who cares?
Yeah.
There is no middle.
Eschatology is a part of theology concerned with the final events of history or the ultimate destiny of humanity. The concept is commonly referred to as the end of the world or end times. The study...
Go back like two sentences.
The final events of history or the ultimate
destination,
the ultimate destiny of humanity.
Humanity's in Cabo.
What?
Cabo San Lucas.
Ultimate destiny.
Yeah. Destination.
Ah, okay. Yeah. I guess I haven't seen that commercial.
I don't think you did.
Yeah. I know it's frustrating. It really is, you know, especially, that what about thing is just the, when you start noticing it, how do we get on that? Like, oh, we talked about how good the headlines and stuff are, but it's like,
Oh, well, yeah. Cause nothing matters and everything is equal.
Right. Yeah. So it's weird. It has been weird doing the show for as long as we have and seeing the news industry evolve like that, just the way that we are fed these things.
So what do you call it when is it prophetic? Is that the word? Is that some like a prophetic statement, something that's prognosticating the future?
Yeah. Like, prophetic would be like an adjective to say like, oh, that is like a prophecy.
In ground dwelling vermin language, that would be like six more weeks of winter, that kind of thing.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So, I don't even know what year this came out, but there was a one hit wonder and the lyrics go like this. You say we have nothing in common, no common ground to start from, and we're falling apart. You say the world's come between us, people on the right or left, whichever.
Uh-huh.
Our lives have come between us.
And lives have come between
still
us.
I know, you just don't care. So the question is, obviously we're not going to say what about Breakfast at Tiffany's, although we like to say what about.
Right.
So if we were going to find common ground to start from, and it wasn't the movie Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Which, hey, we both kind of liked.
We both kind of liked, but yeah. And
I mean, as I recall, said, right?
That's the one thing. Yeah, that's the one thing we've got.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm sure that there is some polarizing figure who was in the movie Breakfast at Tiffany's, which I actually don't know. I've never seen that movie.
So if we were going to come together on a movie these days, what would that movie be? Not the movie that summarizes the time. I'm talking about what would bring us together movie-wise.
What would bring us?
It's like Wagons East.
More of a City Slickers 2 kind of guy myself.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Yeah. What was that? That Chris Farley one where he was, where it was him and Chandler and they were pioneers.
Like that was
your greatest legends.
That was Wagons East, wasn't it?
No.
Was that John Candy's last?
I believe so. Yeah. That was the one where he was so big that like they had to get a stunt double due to the horse stuff because no horse could support him.
There is not a horse on. Can you? Are horses props?
It was a breach of all the horses' contracts.
Is, oh my god, Captain!
that may be apocryphal, but I remember that as being a particularly tragic detail of the latter days of one John Candy. So it was 1998's Almost Heroes. Yeah, that was released posthumously. That was where him and Matthew Perry were explorers who were
bloated.
That's all. No, it's where they were explorers and they were like just like walking in the footsteps and in the shadow of Lewis and Clark, I think. Like they were the almost they were the second Rands, you know.
Right.
So that was a posthumous release. The other posthumous movie came out the same year, Dirty Work. I forgot that.
Yeah,
because he was the guy, the Saigon hooker bit off his nose and then he married her.
Yeah,
he married the Saigon hooker who bit off his nose. It was Jimmy No Nose, was his character's name. That's a funny
bit
movie
off by a Saigon whore.
That's a good movie. I need to download that again.
Yeah, it's good news. I need to steal that again.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah. I didn't rent it on iTunes or whatever.
Norm's doing okay on YouTube, so you can.
Yeah. Funny.
Not that you couldn't find it for $3.88 at the bottom of the Walmart bin.
Ooh, man, that involves going to a Walmart and digging in a bin.
God damn, that's for kids. That's for the youth.
For the Utes.
The Utes. Hey, I did go. Remember, I said that in my hometown they opened up a DMB.
Kind of,
knockoff DMB.
Yes, it is a bar / arcade. Sometimes called a barcade, although barcade is like actually the name of the first one of those that opened up in Brooklyn. Continue.
Right, like mint condition. What do they call those?
Cabinets.
Yeah, mint condition. Awesome. They got the Simpsons. They have that off road like with the four steering wheels on it.
Shit, I love those steering wheels. The ones that just keep on spinning.
Right. It's like, are we even steering? And then they also have a game that I've never seen before.
Okay.
Lethal Enforcers 2 Gunfighters.
Oh, I've only ever heard about that. Like, I see it on lists of games that support that that Konami, like, revolver light gun that came with the original Lethal Enforcers. I've never seen the second Lethal Enforcers. And I've been around a lot of arcade stuff. Huh.
It's there, and it's in good shape. Because we walked in, and it was, when I walked around. And they got the Simpsons, and... they're all in great shape. Miss Pac-Man.
Did you go there with your daughter?
Yeah.
I didn't have a follow-up question to that. You said we.
I know. Yeah. No, you. That's none of your fucking business. What am I supposed to say?
No, I don't know. I was curious. I wanted some because she was excited when we went to that. When we went to that one arcade in that spooky abandoned mall. She liked that, although that place was kind of a disaster, and I think you and I had more fun like walking around the mall itself, right?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Envisioning riding motocross bikes off ramps.
Just I think I was more like a skate park.
Yeah.
Cuz I can't. I mean, it's going to be a fantasy.
Oh man. Yeah. So it's good. It's a good place.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't eat or drink there. We just walked in and toured because we didn't have that much time.
Right. But it's like, hey, let's check this out to see if it's going to pop up later. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why?
I couldn't get loaded and whack Nelson in the face with a skateboard, you know?
Yeah. That's that Simpsons arcade game is weird because they did it and they started developing it kind of when the first season was a thing, mm-hmm. before they communicated to their animators that Smithers wasn't black.
Mm.
So I mean, like the villain of that game is Black Smithers,
who's a gay black man.
Yep. It's a little
it's very progressive.
Right. Gay black men can be villains too. Man. Yeah.
He works for a millionaire, so he must be black.
Good God.
No, I'm just saying, like, I think that the Koreans don't fucking know, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe they only studied American history up through 1870. I have no idea.
Maybe they figured all bets were off when everybody else had like yellow skin or something like that. Like, oh, it's whatever. Mm-hmm. Let's just make decisions at random. Yeah. Mm. I don't know.
Cool. I don't know either.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. We'll have to go. I was sick when I was up there the last time, so I
won't. Yeah, I didn't feel good that night either.
Yeah. Oh, well, it'll be fun to go get a beer, play some Simpsons. Real simple game, but still like fun to play with other people.
I didn't look at the menu. I assume they just have a deep fryer because we live in Ohio.
Of course, yeah. I mean, I think that is you need a fire exit and you need a deep fryer in order to in order to be certified, in order to be up to code.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and the fire exit's mostly in case the deep fryer catches fire. Fryer.
Rare, rare. But it is Ohio. That's how we talk.
Yeah, they're on the roof.
Far.
Yeah.
Toilet.
By the creek. Yeah. You know, Cousin Merle ain't been quite right lately. What?
No, I don't know what that's from.
Oh, that's a Simpsons. It's Sideshow Bob when he is the foreman at that at the hydroelectric dam.
Yeah, I don't remember that.
Yeah. No, Cletus was really upset because their smellhound Geech jumped in the cement mixer. Cousin Merle was watching him, and you know Bob tells him like, "Hey, you really shouldn't have done that because you know Cousin Merle ain't been quite right lately."
Mm.
Yeah,
Captain Geech and the Shrimp Shack Shooters.
So that's that thing you do,
right?
Okay, cool.
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 I just know whenever I'm home, like I'll be back the back of my room tooling around doing something, and I'll just hear that fucking song and know that our stepdad is watching that movie again.
Back in my room.
Yeah, back in my room. The room that I stay in when I'm there.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I saw an ad for Final Fantasy 15.
Oh yeah. They're pushing that like mobile game that's based on it, like that empire building thing.
Yeah, with a hot blonde slut.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know.
Which one is that? Is that the Amanda Seymour? What's her name?
Amanda
Seymour. Wait, what character is she?
Her name is Sydney.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it was controversial how...
We'll call you Sabrina.
It was controversial how kind of provocative her character design was. Yeah, I haven't played very much of that game. It came out at a bad time for me. Yeah. What?
I don't know. Just fucking loads, man.
What did you say, fucking loads?
I don't, instead of saying someone's like attractive, just be like fucking loads, man. I just...
I don't know. That's really funny. Try that in real life. Try it.
I will.
Yeah. Breakfast at Tiffany's. Wow, this movie.
Could you use it for cute too? Oh my goodness! Did you see him? See her in her costume?
Loads. She's
fucking loads, man.
Okay.
<He's> nine.
Jesus.
But apparently that doesn't matter anymore.
No, nothing matters. Come on, come on.
Come on.
By the time this episode comes out, Roy Moore will have gotten into the fucking Senate.
I mean, I'm surprised that Little Rocket Man or whatever, the Kim Jong Un, is actually wrong for doing what he's doing. Well, it's better. North Korea has a nuke that can hit the United States, you know, because at least he's not a Democrat.
Yep. Oh man, but their country is communist, so therefore bad. Yeah.
Mm, I don't know.
Different. Man. I can't come around on anything. Breakfast at Tiffany's was 1961. based on a Truman Capote novel, which I guess I knew.
Spliff.
What?
Truman Capote spliff.
Yeah.
Instead of like a Spike Lee joint.
Oh, yes. Yeah. And it starred starred Audrey Hepburn.
Right.
Oh, and Mickey Rooney. Mickey Rooney is in there. Huh.
Yeah.
So.
Got to keep it tight, Audrey.
So, yeah. Somebody controversial's in there. I don't think Mickey Rooney has a very stellar. He was in that one movie where he was just straight up playing like Yellowface.
What?
No, there was a movie where Mickey Rooney was like a
Sir Laurence Olivier.
I mean, classy as shit. He was in a movie where.
Holy crap, I'm sorry.
Oh, you gotta
hang on 1 second. That's a medication alarm. So that's necessary. Hang on.
Okay.
All right. Go okay. ahead.
You're good?
Yeah.
Okay. No, okay, so Andy just Rooney. A little bit. What?
I'm just twitching a little bit.
Okay, that's cool. That was very startling. That was quite a loud. It's got a little bit of a tick there. Andy Rooney. Mickey Rooney, a child actor, in 1961's Breakfast at Tiffany's, he portrayed the character of I.Y. Uniyoshi, and gotta tell you, this makeup and specifically the dental prosthetics that they used to achieve this effect, not great.
No.
So yeah, we can't actually agree on Breakfast at Tiffany's for some racial insensitivity reasons. Huh.
All right. So this is a list of the most beloved movies of all time.
I mean, Shawshank, right?
Number one, 500 Days of Summer.
What? Fuck you.
10 Things I Hate About You. 12 Years a Slave.
All of the movies that are beloved by assholes.
300.
Yeah, here we go.
48 Hours.
48 Hours.
Nick Nolte and Eddie.
Yeah, Murphy. I know what the movie is.
8 Mile. I think if we could bring people together, it's going to be one of these two. Either Adventures in Babysitting or Airplane.
Okay, Airplane. I can get behind Airplane. Okay.
Maybe Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead.
Oh, yeah. I remember that movie. Something about squeegeeing SpaghettiOs off of a windshield.
Okay, no. These are the two. It's either Airplane or Apocalypse Now.
You know, I think that between those, you get a wide gamut. You get a wide gamut. You're going to hit everybody.
How many jugs of piss do you think are laying all around the Oval Office? I just saw The Aviator. Isn't that a thing? That's the one.
The Aviator? Yeah, that's the Howard Hughes biopic.
Yeah.
I get annoyed when people say biopic.
The porn version of Ben-Hur, Bent-Hur.
Oh, man. Hey, Chris, what episode is this?
I have no idea. What episode is it called?
It's 216.
Oh, it's episode 216 of the comedy podcast, Those Damn Ross Kids.
Yeah, your name is?
I am Chris.
I'm Cole, and we're here to entertain your asses.
We have for quite a while now already, but...
Oh, yeah, it's about 25 minutes in, don't worry. And we need, sometimes it's, you know, sometimes we don't say that till the very end.
Well, we haven't done this in a while, so...
No, so it's...
Enough to do.
It's been a long time since we recorded... I think as far as like time goes, we only missed one actual episode on release.
Oh, so, really?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So, but no, like we had a bunch
I
of stuff.
I never missed
a
release.
It loads, man. Yeah. No, we had Portland, and then we had like just holidays and birthdays and stuff like that, right?
Yeah, just general craziness.
Yeah, end of the year. It's nuts.
Do you have any news? Not like stories. I mean, just is anything you want to tell me? Anything I need to know?
No, I mean, Not like on the show or anything.
I just wondered.
Yeah. No. Did you?
No.
Okay.
No.
All right. Well, okay. We concluded that piece of business.
Yep. No new business.
Yeah. Okay. We can move on. Hey, Chris, you got a story?
I have a lot.
I have a lot of stories.
Like we said. Despite facing tough competition from novels featuring the phrases mouth machine and diabolical torso, Christopher Bolan took home the 2017 Bad Sex in Fiction Award that was given in London, courtesy of the Literary Review. NPR reports the passage that earned Bolan the prize comes from his novel, The Destroyers. I don't know why I laughed at that.
Okay.
And the passage reads, the skin along her arms and the shoulders, skin along her arms and shoulders are different shades of tan, like water stains in a bathtub. Bolan wrote in a passage describing the protagonist having sex with a former girlfriend. Quote, her face and vagina are competing for my attention, so I glance down at the billiard rack of my penis and testicles.
The billiard rack. That was so bad it caused you to knock something over on your desk.
I don't even know what just happened.
I'm upside down now.
The skin along her arms and shoulders are different shades of tan, like water stains in a bathtub. Her face and vagina are competing for my attention. So I just glanced. I just watched my own dick,
which evidently is
a lot like a billiard rack.
Yeah.
You know, as an ensemble, my dick and balls are like a billiard rack.
Yeah. You know, together it forms a certain mise-en-scene. Yeah.
Yeah. The thought process in giving Bolan the prize, quote, Bolan goes overboard in his attempts to describe the familiar in new terms, leading occasionally to confusion. In the line quoted, they were left unsure as to how many testicles the character in question has.
You know, see, Stephen King says this. You don't want to pin people down on a certain image. Let the reader do the work for you. You know, I'm not going to come out here and say this man has two testicles because, you know what, maybe your version of this guy has a, you know, he's got four on the vine, right?
Yeah. Let's do time travel here.
Okay.
The 2013 prize. No, I'm sorry, 2016. Bad Sex and Fiction Award went to Ari DeLuca. And that passage that won that award is, my prick was a plank stuck to her stomach.
Ugh.
And their sexes were ready, poised in expectation, barely touching each other. Ballet dancers hovering in point.
Bang.
And the 2015 went to Morrissey, which was just sad.
Morrissey, the Smiths guy?
Yeah. Why is that? Which was just sad.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And the way you don't appreciate the Smiths. Yes.
Morrissey.
Yeah. Huh. Well, did they have an excerpt from Morrissey?
Yeah. I'm trying to suss it out here because I was a new link. Mm. The passage from Morrissey, I guess, is at this, Eliza and Ezra, a runner and his girlfriend, rolled together into one giggling snowball, a full-figured compilation. Screaming and shouting as they playfully bit and pulled at each other in a dangerous and clamorous roller coaster coil of sexually violent rotation, with Eliza's breasts barrel rolled across Ezra's howling mouth, and the pained frenzy of his bulbous salutation extenuating his excitement as it whacked and smacked its way into every muscle of Eliza's body except for the otherwise central zone. So he apparently beat her with his cock.
Yeah.
That's how I read that. Take that. And that.
Huh. Yeah, no, this is very much one second, sorry. Fucking autoplay video. God damn it. Mm-hmm. I have to mute this goddamn tab. Sorry.
I'll get you every time, man.
Yeah. No, this is, I mean, these are people, these are space aliens trying to pretend to know what sex is.
They sound like they have a better idea than I do.
Yeah. I mean, like, but they're also like well-regarded novels that do even weirder stuff. Like, this is from Tropic of Cancer, I think. I am fucking you, Tanya, so that you'll stay fucked. And if you are afraid of being fucked publicly, I will fuck you privately. I will bite your clitoris and spit out two Franks. Franks. Wow. Yeah. You know, like, so, you know, there's some stuff going on. I think that there is some stuff going on.
So what I want you to do is, you have two words to describe sex. What do you got?
Smelly noise.
Expensive and bloody.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's filthy. What?
I just, smelly noise, huh? It's good. You did good, Cole.
Thank you. Let's see here. Do you know what National Novel Writing Month is? NaNoWriMo?
No.
Every November, people challenge themselves to like write a first draft of a 50,000 word like novella.
Okay.
It's a thing. People get together and they share stuff. What's that?
I said I haven't. People do.
No. It's a popular thing people do. And I've talked about this. It's been spoken of on the network before, but I want to share with you one of my favorite things to ever come out of this. Like it was in 2013. There was a user on the National Novel Writing Month site. His name's Horny Man Travis. And you know,
I know him.
Yeah. He's just over there, you know, loads, man. And he wanted to share some details, like synopsis and an excerpt of his novel Sex Motorcycle in the genre erotic fiction. Okay.
Yeah.
Here's the synopsis. A biker finds a motorcycle at an old mechanic shop that has a pussy in the seat so you can fuck it while riding. He has to keep it a secret because all the guys in his biker gang would want to fuck it.
It's a reverse Mac.
Excerpt.
You haven't seen that?
No. What?
Mac from It's Always Sunny modifies that exercise bike, and the seat has a hole in it. And as you pedal, a giant dong dildo goes up and down.
It's like that fuck machine from Burn After Reading.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah. No, I know what you mean. Yeah, I remember that.
It's a reverse Mac.
Yeah, like his justification was, oh, it'll stop you from sitting down on the seat. Because they'll keep poking you, you know, that way you stand up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Here's an excerpt from Sex Motorcycle. This is a quote. This is dialogue. Why do you have to zip up your pants every time you get off that hog, Travis? Punchy said, and nearly fell off the bike aghast. He continued, you got a pussy in that thing? I coughed and gulped.
That's my first guess.
I coughed and gulped. Nice one, Punchy, I said.
Hey, Cole, you got a pussy in that thing?
You holding out on me?
It's like there's like this gender ambiguous person. And you're like, hey, you got a pussy in there?
So dumb. Huh. Yeah. Writing's hard.
Hey. You got a pussy in there? What, do you just tap on their head with a mag light? Hey, you got a pussy in there?
Man, it's almost Christmas time, right?
I think.
Yeah, I'm
gonna put up a Christmas tree later.
Yeah, I need to get mine from down in the from down in the basement.
In all fairness, I do that every weekend.
Put up a Christmas tree. Take it. That's practice for the big show. You know, there's something about you is that you take pride in your holiday foliage.
Let's say you take pride in your holocausts.
Jesus.
Hey, where did that word come from? What is the etymology of that word?
Holocaust?
Yeah. Sounds very futuristic.
I think it is a like a general word to describe to describe like desolation or destruction. Yeah, let's see here. Holocaust, Hebrew, Yiddish. It's a Yiddish and Hebrew word. The systematic. Okay.
Old French.
Huh.
Holocaust be a late Latin from Greek holocauston.
Yeah.
Burned.
Okay. That's why they describe like a nuclear holocaust, right?
It does. It looks like it. It peaked in 2008, though.
People searching for the word. Okay. Huh.
Yeah.
I need to be very careful here. It is a very pleasing word in itself. Just the sounds that are contained in it. It's got a little bit of a cellar door kind of thing. It represents something terrible, but like as a word, it is a good word.
Hmm.
Yeah.
There's some Bible stuff here too. Mark 12:33. More than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices in the Authorized Version was translated by William Tyndale in 1526. Well, that's boring.
Yeah, yeah. It's fine. It just burned. Desolation.
Yeah.
Burned desolation. Christmas is coming up. Up in Toronto. You know, all of the everywhere, not just Toronto. All the malls have their Santas out. Up in Toronto, though, this is a real problem. There's a cell phone video that's kind of gone viral of a woman who's not really having any of this, who's not having the whole Santa thing. She approaches Santa screaming, "I heard about it when I was a young kid. You're not real, man. Do you have a sleigh, you fucking dickhead? Do you have a sleigh? You're not magic. You're not even real. I heard about it when I was a kid. You're not real, man. Do you have a sleigh, you dickhead?"
So he's not going to get cookies?
No. This woman just like is taking a real like that chest out, hands back and down posture. Like, come on, what are you going to fucking do about it? This is a goddamn sham, and I'm here to tell everybody.
You think you know me?
Yeah. It's
you don't know me.
And then the mall security escorted her out.
Say that to my face.
Yeah, she left with that incident. She didn't start like swinging at him.
Based on her tone, I would not have thought that she would have left without incident.
Yeah, you're not magic. You're not even real.
You're just a person. Yeah, like all of us.
There's no film in this camera.
Oh God.
And this is right on the heels. Again, all this Christmas stuff is happening. Scientists and I guess archaeologists in Turkey believe that they have discovered the tomb of Saint Nicholas. Okay. You know, Saint Nicholas, historical figure, not the icon that Coca-Cola created. But an actual saint who was noted for his acts of generosity became the basis for, you know, old Saint Nick. Nobody really knew where he was buried. They believe that they found it, and they believe that there's going to be some relics. Yep. Wow. So they're going to have to start testing to make sure that these like just bones and hands and stuff are actually Santa Claus.
Did you say pumpkin to me?
Did you fucking say pumpkin?
I have no idea.
Yeah.
Oh my God, Cole.
Born in the 3rd century to the village of Patara. Yeah. Over in Turkey. So Santa's either not real or he has been centuries dead.
I think we could.
Spoiler. Maybe don't play this around your kids.
Yeah, don't do that.
Also, you got a pussy around there?
Continue. Yeah. Hey, you got a pussy in there?
Just to make it clear, kids shouldn't be listening to this. Go ahead.
Hey, you see my pussy?
Anybody see my pussy?
Hey, has anybody seen my pussy? Is everyone here? No. Okay.
Okay, cool. I'll be back later. I'll check. It's fine.
Yeah, hey, I do have a fun fact for you.
Okay.
Federal grant money went to Columbia University Medical Center. When they studied almost 14,000 adults who under the age of 65, And they found that 61.5% of those who died from a from an opioid overdose.
Okay.
They had been diagnosed with non-cancer chronic pain.
Okay. When you said fun fact, did you mean depressing fact?
No, I meant like we funded research to find that out.
That people didn't just take these things to, or didn't just start taking them for fun, that they end up trying to solve a problem and getting hooked on something because, yeah. because the way our society or medical professionals or whatever manages pain is a fucking joke.
I guess, but they, you're talking also about pairing them up with benzos.
Okay.
And, you know, or as I like to call it, a Whitney bath.
Jesus Christ.
Whew. Go home and take a Whitney bath.
She light some votives.
Votifs?
Yeah. Huh. A Whitney bath.
Maybe pour an aperitif.
Mm, yeah.
Light some votifs and then take myself a Whitney bath.
Yeah. She died in 2009, right? Like, it's been long enough you can joke about that.
Was it 2009?
Yeah, Whitney Houston. Mm. I remember it was 2012. I was thinking it was 2009 because of Michael Jackson.
Oh, well. I mean, I watched your funeral. I've never seen so many people sitting in a black church.
Normally it's like awesome, right? Like there's a lot of, man, I would love to go to a black church.
Oh, man. The Martin Luther King, the original Ebenezer Tabernacle of whatever. Can't remember what it's called. Anyway.
Oh, when you were down in Atlanta and you were checking out the museum and stuff, right? Yeah.
That was like that felt like the OG black church, you know, that felt like, okay, well, this matches, you know, the stereotype that I have in my head.
Right. But also like way more, it seems so much more engaging to me. Right. And I'm basing that off of just our shitty church. Right. You know, our church sucks.
it's a good time.
I gotta say, I really don't like our church. Oh well, but nobody goes there anymore, so that's fine.
Nobody cares, Cole.
Yeah, I should remember that.
That's a great deal.
What is?
£3 of pistachios for $12.
Holy shit! Mm-hmm. Get on that.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Hmm. Sam's Club, buddy.
Oh, here's the thing though. Are those shelled or are those Or are those without shell? They have the shell. See, I like that. That's an activity.
Right. So where are the red ones that they used in Naked Gun? Remember they were on the stakeout and they had eaten so many pistachios that they filled the car. So when they opened the door to get out, then they all.
Yeah, I know. I know what you mean.
Apparently I was alone. Sorry.
It took me a while. It's been a long time since I thought about...
asshole, right?
No. This is a Huffington Post article from 2015. Remember red pistachios? Here's what happened to them. What the hell happened to red pistachios?
If you have people woke up in the morning freaking out because they had blood in their stool. If that's the case, then why do we still have red velvet cake?
I call that the Pepto panic.
Why is my memory so short? Every time I eat red velvet cake, I wake up the next day. I take my morning, whatever it is you call it.
Your constitutional, yeah.
My constitutional, right? And and it looks like I had a toilet baby.
Right. It looks. It's basically the elevator scene from The Shining. I mean this is probably really gross. I don't know if you meant this to be shared, but when you had a
if you have to say that,
yeah.
I'm not sure you meant for this to be shared. Yeah. Chances are I did.
You had a toilet, I mean we're not live. You had a toilet emergency and you walked out, you know, just it happens, and you said it was like somebody dropped a water balloon on pavement.
Right.
That was a very good description, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you've had that pressure build up where it's not like it's like you just had this little orb of watery hot dog, you know, goo.
Right.
That went
Just flapoom.
Right.
Yeah.
Huh. There are no ripples. There was just one big ripple.
Yeah.
And the toilet water.
Just right up the side. Yeah.
It hit so hard, it flushed.
This has been Those Damn Ross Kids.
Okay, so though pistachio trees were first planted in California in the mid-1800s, the industry didn't take off until an embargo on Iranian pistachios was enforced in 1979.
Ooh.
Huh.
Like that.
Okay. So it was, So, but it dyed red that left her hands, potentially her face, but they're not around anymore. The disappearance of red-colored pistachios is a direct result of the exponential increase in homegrown pistachios and the limit on pistachio imports in the Middle East. When the U.S. was importing pistachios, the nutshells would often be splotchy in color. The shells got stained from traditional harvesting methods in which the nuts weren't immediately hulled and washed. Oh, so they had inconsistent-looking nuts brought in from the Middle East, so they decided to dye them so they would be uniform. And when they stopped importing them from the Middle East and started growing them locally, they didn't need to dye them anymore.
It's like buying cheese at Dollar Tree.
You get the little tub of margarine and you mix in the yellow coloring. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Yeah. And then just make it stick to the wrapper. That's good.
Hey, Chris, do you want me to tell them what they can do?
Every single time.
So thank you very much for listening. If you want to leave us a rating or review, it's been a little while since we've gotten one. We had a nice one here a little bit ago, but it always helps. Consider going over to patreon.com/duckfeedtv, and there you can find ways to support the network. And that is always helpful. Check out the rewards there and things like that. But otherwise, tell your friends and come back next time. You know, the usual thing. Not an awful lot like special going on. I don't know if this is coming out around Duckstream or not, but yeah. Or if there's still time left before Duckstream, but yeah, did I forget anything?
No.
Okay. Sorry, America.
Sorry.